I am Jake Cranston alongside Jeff Webster. What's going on, Jeff?
Not much, buddy. What's happening with you?
Just getting excited, man.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Everything's coming up quick, man.
Fun time of year, dude. What we were talking about is like when this comes out, about a solid month.
Yeah.
If this comes out on Thursday, 4 Thursdays from that day, the Buffalo Bills are playing regular season football.
Yeah, it's 30. What do we figure? It's 30 days from today, right? Yeah,
today's Tuesday. We're 30 days away from today.
Man, that is, it's just,
yeah, that's also ridiculous, dude.
It feels like it's coming up a lot quicker than it has in years past.
I agree. And we're even following it close this year, and it doesn't seem to be dragging at all, man.
It's just from pure
flying
fan excitement.
Last week of training camp in St. John Fisher.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's
right.
That's
a marker right there.
Correct.
So that's cool. That's very cool. We're getting there.
I know, man. It's, you know, coming from like I was saying, just being a fan, you know, of the Buffalo Bills, obviously that's what we are here.
Right.
But outside of the podcast, I mean, just normality of me just being interested in the Bills without even thinking about, oh, what am I going to talk about on the podcast?
Like, right.
It's just, it's just so hard not to dig yourself in. Like today when you show me the Case Keenum video on the Bills website. Yeah.
That was awesome. That was hilarious.
Hilarious.
Like I said, how do you not love these guys?
I don't
know. Because they're personable. They have actual personalities. It's not just, they're not robots. You know what I mean? They're like real freaking people.
They remind me of, I mean, I know these, you know, I'm 40. I know you're going to be like 75 or something like that.
Roughly about 75 neighborhood.
But, in all seriousness, though, these guys remind me of just like a bunch of high school kids sometimes. Like just the way they mess around with each other.
Well, the funny thing is you forget how young they are.
I know.
Right? Like even seasoned freaking football players are 30 years old, 35. Right. It's not like they're 70. You know what I mean? Like,
for sure.
So they are children, and Josh Allen is the biggest child of the bunch.
I know.
You can just tell. They're just having a freaking blast.
But it's funny because like they do shit that I remember doing in high school football. It's like you would think, and I know they're young, but it's like, oh, these guys are professional football players. But no, man. I mean, they are out there like kids, and they reference it. They're like, we're playing a game that we loved as kids, and they're still have that kid in them, which is awesome to see.
Yeah.
And especially our team. These guys are just fun to see what they do on and off the field. Practice field, whatever.
Absolutely. And anybody who wants to get on the inside of this joke, today is August 9th, Tuesday, and there's a video from training camp.
Yep.
Case Keenum throws on a hat and sunglasses. He goes undercover and goes checking with all his teammates to get him to autograph a football, just to see how many of them recognize him as the backup quarterback.
Yeah.
And most of them actually do. But they're so busy signing autographs, he literally has to prod them a couple of times to even get them to recognize that it's him. So it's absolutely fucking hilarious. It's a short watch, 5 minutes or less. It's fantastic. And it just shows that when you take a bunch of guys that are doing what they love, and they love the guys they're doing it with. Case Keenum, by the way, I don't know if you heard this, in an interview said, like, he's buying into this. Like, this is not just a walkthrough for him. Like, he is buying into the whole freaking concept of being not only a Buffalo Bill, but a member of the Buffalo Bills community and Bills Mafia.
Yeah.
Like, he is loving life right now. You know what I mean?
That's great.
That's the backup guy. I mean, that's possibly even our third quarterback. I mean, it's fantastic. I can't have more fun than to watch these guys be these guys. You know, they're signing autographs, and honestly, for a lot of them, you do this for about 15, 20 minutes, and it's almost a chore, right? Like, people are screaming your name, come over here, I love you, come over here, blah, blah, blah. After a while, you can almost see it starts to wear on them a little bit.
Sure.
But they are still having a fucking blast, man.
Oh, big time.
They're loving it.
I mean, look at
awesome.
Look at Von Miller. You know, I never really knew his personality or what type of guy he was. Was he a guy that came in and just a serious dude, didn't like to joke around? Was he a rah-rah guy? Did he? You know, I had no clue. And, you know, he comes in and he fits right in. He's joking around with Ed Oliver, and he's joking around with Diggs. And, Did you see the whole thing? Speaking of just funny, funny shit at camp. Did you
know what you're going? I know where you're going.
The whole thing with the toilet paper.
No, I saw the one with the water bottle. Rousseau hands him a water bottle and it doesn't have any hole on the end.
Yeah.
So he's trying to drink water out of a fucking water bottle that doesn't release any water.
Okay.
And he's like, oh, you guys got me or whatever, you know? So yeah, it's a joke, you know? They're laughing it up.
But you didn't see it?
No, I didn't see the toilet paper, though. So Von Miller, about it.
He's being interviewed after practice, whatever, and he's complimenting, you know, St. John Fisher and you know, the accommodations, that it's pretty decent.
Right.
But he said the toilet paper is horrible.
Yeah.
It's just really rough. It's just not good toilet paper.
I heard, you know, that part.
And that's kind of, and it's just funny he even mentions
well,
that.
Well, now he's getting rolls, right?
So people are Bill's Mafia is sending this guy toilet paper. He's got like enough to fill like half a semi at this point.
Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah,
that
dude.
It sounds just like Bill's Mafia, though, doesn't it?
So you know what's going to turn into, right, Jeff?
Oh, yeah.
They're going to keep sending all this toilet paper. And it's going to end up being like some big donation to somewhere. And it's going to be like Bill's Mafia is going to be all over it. And we provided freaking the best toilet paper known to mankind to like a third world country that has to wipe their ass with like leaves and shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what it's going to look like.
That's cool.
Right?
I mean, it's all in fun.
That's what it turns into.
Yeah.
Absolutely. One little comment and somebody's like, let's send them fucking toilet paper then. Well,
nobody knows better than us that Bill's Mafia is like the strongest community in football. There's just no doubt. I mean, just look at everything they've done in the last half a dozen years or so.
Yes.
You know, going way back to Andy Dalton's foundation. When they got us into the playoffs. You know what I mean? It's just
absolutely. That's
who we are as a community. That's a, you know, city of good neighbors, man. And that's not just a made up thing. That's a real thing.
Very true.
You take that shooting in Buffalo and the way people rallied and how many former Buffalo Bills came in to try to make something good happen out of a horrible tragedy. And, you know, Bruce Smith, I remember, was very big. And, you know, that's part of being, I think, a Bills community supported football team is they give back, and they give back forever, you know?
Yeah.
So it's awesome. Cool. I mean, it's just a great community to be a part of. And and it's really just is. Like we talk about sometimes, you almost got to pinch yourself because it's almost surreal after what Bills fans. I mean, for me, to give you an idea of my age, I've been a fan for over 50 years. And obviously way more downs than ups, but that just makes times like this that much sweeter. You know what I mean?
Big time.
I mean, it's so amazing. To think of who our quarterback is and receivers and just the future, especially. It's not like, hey, you know, 10 years from now we could be good. It's like, where are we going to be at the end of this year? You know, it's fascinating, man. It's great fun. Everybody just enjoy the ride, because sometimes it doesn't always end where you think it's going to, but you can enjoy each and every step of the way.
You can, really. And Von Miller said it, I think, the other day. He's like, Buffalo's just, it's different here. You can feel the difference with the community, with this fan base. It's just different.
Yeah.
And it is like, you know, being here with the small town kind of feel to it. You know, we really, really love our sports teams harder than most.
Yeah, it's funny because there's no real statistical proof, but honestly, player after player that have come and played in Buffalo, at least most of the time, maintain a home in or around Buffalo. You know what I mean? Not all of them, obviously. But, a lot of guys come here and they realize that all the story of the snow and the cold and blizzards and all that shit don't really take away from the community itself. And they enjoy their time here. I know Thurman Thomas is a huge Sabres fan. You know, I think Bruce is in Miami, but he comes back. Jim Kelly's a local dude. You know, it's very cool. It's very cool. And they follow this team. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're still a part of it, even though it's their playing time is done. They are a part of this team still.
Big time. Big time. And speaking of community, the new stadium, let's kind of talk about that for a second.
Man, I'll tell you what, I'm liking it a lot. I really am.
Well, me personally, being a season ticket holder, and I know you don't even have to be a season ticket holder, just just in general of a Bills fan, but I'm just crazy excited to see like what this is going to bring, because the biggest thing that, you know, reading some of this stuff is, I mean, we're basically going to have the state-of-the-art stadium.
Yeah.
In the NFL for a bit. And that blows my mind.
That is crazy.
You know, but
it's hard to think. What was it? 73? Rich Stadium?
72, 73, something
somewhere like that. Somewhere in that
area. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a long time ago. We're talking almost 50 years ago. But that was an exciting time.
Yeah.
And, they're talking about having designs finalized hopefully before the kickoff of the season. So people have a good idea what it's going to look like, what it's going to include.
Yep.
They're talking a great game. I mean, they really are. It sounds fantastic.
It really does. And Ron Rakuya, he's the executive vice president and chief operating officer of the Bills.
Right.
He was on GR 550 Monday morning, and he said, in quotes, "We're very close to showing what the stadium is going to look like from the outside and the inside."
Yeah, so that's awesome.
That's going to be really cool to see.
And they were talking about the fans, like all the fans will be closer to the team than ever before. So I don't know how they're designing these seats.
Right.
It sounds fantastic.
The way he discussed it, and it was just kind of a short thing when you're reading through this, is he said that the seats are not going to be tighter, but they're going to be – they're going to make them so they're more on top of the field, I guess. Or, you know what I mean? It's hard to kind of understand until you see it. But, yeah, it's going to be neat. And
it does sound really cool. I mean, it sounds impressive.
The other thing he said, too, about this stadium that I was like, wow. So they're changing the direction of the stadium. So it's not going to be facing the same way Highmark's facing right now.
I remember you talking about that, yeah.
So I guess they did extensive testing and looked at how the wind's coming off the lake and things like that. And with the clamshell, the way the stadium is supposed to face, they said that the wind in this new stadium is going to have minimal factor in these games, which is insane to me.
I mean, honestly, that cost the Bills a win, in my opinion, last year.
It just doesn't let us play up to the potential that we can put on the field.
Right. I would love to see New England game played in fair weather.
Absolutely.
Because there's only so much. Unless you're like a staunch running club,
correct,
the wind is going to be a factor. There's not even an arm like Josh Allen's can only cut through so much wind.
The wind has been such a big factor in a lot of games that I've grown up going to or watching on TV. I mean, when I went to that Ravens playoffs game at home, the game during COVID,
right,
there was only so many fans. That game, again, was crazy windy.
Yep.
And that game affected a lot, you know.
For sure.
So it's – and, you know –
And we've had great running backs. I mean, we've had good running teams, but that's not what we are anymore.
No, we're not that anymore. And some fans might say, well, you know, you come to Buffalo, you get the weather. And you will get the weather.
Right.
But
the players will definitely get
the weather. But let's be honest. Like, if we can have a stadium where the weather, as far as the wind, and the wind is the biggest factor in a game that you're trying to throw, you're trying to kick field goals, you're trying to punt field position – just get rid of the wind. I'm fine with that. We can still get snow. We can still get rain, all that stuff. That's gonna affect how you're playing on the field. But as far as the fan experience, the clamshell is going to cover 80-something% of the fans.
Yeah.
They said that the concourses and each basically piece of the stadium is going to be climate controlled.
Right.
So, you know, if you've been in Highmark, with a lot of people out there have, you get into the concourse and, you know, you're closed off. Nothing's heated out there. It's just standing in brick coldness.
Dude, I'll tell you what. I remember going to a game and I would go get a large coffee. And by the time I got it back to my freaking seat, it was cold. Like, I mean, it was so bitterly cold. And again, like you said, I went to an actual preseason game one time. It was unseasonably cold. It was in the 50s and misty, rainy, shitty.
Yeah.
Fine. But it had also 20-plus mile-an-hour winds. We froze our asses off because the wind, if you're wet, that wind lowers the temperature by like 20-plus degrees, man. We were freezing.
Well, I feel bad for anybody that sits on the north side of the stadium which would absolutely be, which would be the visitor side of the stadium,
right?
And sits up in the 300s.
Oh man!
So there's bad weather factors all around, Jeff. Because when you sit on that side, you're sitting up in the 300s, and I sat up there a few times, just you know, preseason or whatever,
right?
And the sun is just slamming you, and it's so freaking hot.
Yep. Yep.
Then in the winter, if you get the wind and that cold, you're up there.
It whips, dude.
Freezing, dude.
It whips. It picks up speed in that stadium. It doesn't slow down. It doesn't break it up.
Anybody that sits up there
picks it up. Yeah, anybody who's been in the stadium on any given Sunday knows the weather variations there are just insane.
Oh, it's not. It's I mean, in the last 10 years that I've had seasons, there's some pretty memorable games and wins and shit that I've been in. I was at that Colts game. Where
the
snowball, dude.
Yep.
I mean,
and that could still be a thing.
It sure can. But when you're inside the stadium, it's gonna be that much nicer for us fans.
Exactly.
Like, I mean, let's be honest. Like, I mean, there's gonna be people out there, Bills fans out there, are gonna be like, oh, you know, that's what makes us fans. It's the weather and the blah blah. And it's still going to make us us what we are. Yep. It's just we can be comfortable sitting inside and watching this team now.
Right.
You know,
a perfect example of that. 0 degree game that Josh played in.
Right.
He lit it up.
Oh, he sure did.
Because the wind wasn't there.
Correct.
So these guys can play in snow. They can play in cold. Excuse me. But like you said, the wind is just the factor that.
That's the one that kills you.
There's no advantage, I don't really think, because it doesn't matter where you're from.
Right.
You've probably played in wind before, and they talk about, well, the kickers, they know how to deal with the wind in the stadium. I'm not sure that's really a thing.
Right.
Because when the wind is, if you watch those flags on the goalposts, and when they're blowing left and 3 seconds later they're blowing right, it doesn't matter how many times you kicked in that stadium.
Yes.
When you kick that ball, it's whatever the wind decides to do with it. There's no, you know, if it's predominantly one way, fine. But most of the time it's not in that stadium. It's whipping around. It's circling.
Oh,
it's changing direction constantly.
It's insane. And Ron Rakuya said the canopy will specifically provide relief from the impact of wind while still making the stadium an open air venue.
See, that's awesome. That man.
Is, I mean, the science that goes into this is so cool.
It's the best of all worlds, really.
I mean, it's just, it's really neat what they're doing. And you know, I'm not against the people that live in the city that wanted it in the city. But for me personally, because I live in the South Towns, I wanted it in the South Towns.
Access is important too.
Yeah, you know? And just personally, I just didn't want it in the city because me personally, going to Sabres games and things in the city, it just becomes a nightmare down there.
Right.
And right. I just couldn't see it. I mean, I know all these other NFL stadiums. There's a lot of them that are in cities and blah, blah, blah. I get it.
Yeah.
But our city is not set up for it. And if they were to try to set it up for it, I think it could have been a mess.
I think so, too. And it's hard to finance that kind of shit when you don't have Florida weather. You don't have Arizona weather, L.A. weather. You don't have that enough of the year to warrant that kind of investment.
Very
either.
Small window.
Yeah.
I mean, you're probably talking, you know, they're looking at 4 years. So 2026, this is going to be done.
Right.
If you're talking downtown, you're probably adding on another 2-3 years to that.
Yep. And a lot of them are sharing it with a professional baseball team that helps pay for it. We don't have that. We don't have a professional baseball team, and the odds of getting one are probably pretty damn slim. So
very, very slim, unfortunately.
Yeah, because we don't have the people to be able to cover the payrolls or paying baseball players these days. It's fucking nuts, man. I mean, it's ridiculous what these guys are getting paid.
Yeah, baseball's you know? Nuts, yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
But anyway,
yeah,
I regress. The idea, in my opinion, what they've put together for the stadium, I mean, honestly, everybody would love to have a dome. Of course they would. But if you're not going to be able to have that, this sounds like everything you could want short of that.
Yeah, you're not taking away for the fans that grew up in the elements like I did, like you did, you know, the fans that really invested a lot of their life going to games in these elements. You're still going to get the style of elements in the stadium. You're still going to be sitting in an open air. It's going to be cold when it's cold. When it's raining, maybe you're not going to get wet, but it's, you know, you're still going to be outside.
Right.
You know, we're going to be treated a little bit better as Bills fans now, you know,
right. Which is only right. I mean,
I think
it's
we
only
deserve
right.
it. I
Absolutely.
Think we deserve it.
Absolutely. And you're going to be paying for it. There is going to be a little more significant
sure.
cost.
Yes.
But part of that is recuperable. But yeah, I think you're absolutely right. As fans, we have been one of the most sold out stadiums per capita in the world for the amount of people that we have regionally that could access a football game. It's a much smaller audience than a lot of venues in the United States. And our games historically were always sold out. It
always.
Didn't matter. So
yeah, and we don't have
we paid our dues,
huge corporate
man.
Companies that are coming in and,
for sure.
and buying the tickets out.
Right. It's not Detroit when you got all the automakers there to fund your freaking stadium. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
we're not. We're not in Dallas. We're not these big city teams. We're not the Jets and the Giants, which those guys can't sell out anyway because they're horrible.
They play in New Jersey, so who cares?
Yeah, it is though. It's gonna be again, like you said. The pricing is going to, just like anything else, Jeff, it's going to push people away, but then it's going to open opportunity for other people to come in and say, you know
for
what,
sure.
screw it. Like, let me do it. Then there's going to be fans like myself, for instance. I've been invested for 10 years of my own money into this team. I was a season ticket holder in the early 2000s during Bledsoe. But basically, my whole life, like you, Jeff,
right.
I've been a fan for. I'm 40 years old.
Yep.
You know, I've been a fan. I've been going to games since I've been 8 years old.
Right.
So
right.
you know, count that time up. That's
sure.
That's how long I've been a fan, and for the fact that we can have something to maybe be the best team in the NFL and have the best venue in the NFL.
Right. Right.
Who would have ever thought that would have happened?
Yeah, I agree. And if you think about it, there's 32 teams in the United States. So that's 32 cities who have a football team. Other than that, nobody else does.
No.
There's more than 32 cities in this country that don't have access to a local football team.
Yeah.
You know, we get guys from Rochester, even Syracuse, Canada. You know, people travel, but we don't have to.
Right.
We're literally 20 minutes away from our football team.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
We're
my buddy,
fortunate, man, a lot of ways.
My buddy grew up, one of my buddies that lives in Orchard Park, he actually grew up right down the street. Do you know where the Big Tree Apartments are? Right off 20?
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
That's where he grew up. And
oh, no kidding.
Him and his dad had seasons, and he literally walked out of his apartment, walked down, made like a, you know, whatever, 10 minute walk down 20. Into the parking lot, boom, he's at the game.
Right.
Like, that's
right.
so cool.
That is cool.
You know, in the life around the stadium where we live,
right.
it's all within, obviously, neighborhoods and people's houses. And, like, that's their livelihood. Like, they live the
right.
bills there. Like,
oh, yeah.
They,
oh,
you
hell
know,
yeah.
You drive through there during a game day, and everybody's out there that's close to the stadium waving in parking.
Yep.
You know, it's yep. just, it's just a, it's like a lifestyle for real. It is.
Yeah. And I mean, and let's be fair, the money they're making probably barely covers the cost of repairing their freaking lawns constantly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I mean, sure, they're getting a few bucks, but it's like, I'd pay it gladly.
Dude, this guy,
you know what I mean? Gladly.
Oh yeah. The guy that we parked at, he's right down the street from Danny's, called Chucky's. Anybody listening that knows Chucky's, right down the street from Danny's. We've been parking there for 8 years now. He's just like, screw it. He just started year by year. He just started loading like stone in
yeah.
down his
yeah.
yard for people yeah. to park on.
Yeah, he doesn't mow anymore.
Why
right? He rakes his lawn.
Yeah.
yeah, that's
but
it.
Why
that's
would
cool.
you? You know, I mean,
sure.
I get it. But it is. It's a lifestyle. Like, you're driving down the road during game days and everybody's wearing blue and red and their Bills gear. And
it's cool. It's just neat.
It's just,
it
almost reminds me of, and a lot of people say it, of a college atmosphere.
Right.
It really
right.
does because it's in the neighborhood. Now, like, if you would have put it in the city, it would have took all of that out of it.
Yep. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I agree.
And that's like that's part of what kind of build our fan base to be what it is.
Right.
You know,
right.
moving it to a downtown in a city, it just doesn't fit our DNA.
Right.
That's,
I agree. Not as a football team.
Yeah. Not as a football team. Not as a fan base.
And a football community.
You know, it's just like the tailgating downtown in a city. It's just our DNA.
Yeah.
Our DNA for this Bills Mafia fan base, to me, growing up in it, is parking in a at a house and
yeah.
and getting to know who that person that homeowner is, and you know,
yeah, and you know every vendor between you and your seats.
You do.
You know, you're walking in, you go, oh, there's a taco dude or whatever. Like everybody's, you know.
It's just it yeah, it's great.
It man. Is it is awesome.
Now with this new stadium, cool. they're probably gonna be building up more things. It's gonna probably yeah. be more commercial around there.
Right.
This
right.
and that. But I'm sure that in my opinion, I'm sure they're gonna try to keep it still that small small
town,
small neighborhood feel.
Guarantee it.
I don't think it's going to get too stupid, but it's going to build up.
Oh yeah,
I think there's no doubt about that.
Yeah, so. No, I agree 100%. No, I think it's again, it's just the whole thing, the whole
yeah.
where they are. It's just such an exciting time to be a Bills fan. I know we bring that up often, but it's so true. It's just a really fun time to be a Bills fan.
Absolutely. So moving along to another subject we wanted to just kind of cover real quick is. So I actually got to go to the Return of the Blue and Red game.
Yeah, baby.
Took my wife and my two girls. They were super excited to go again this year. And by the way, the official attendance, Jeff, to that practice game was 36,800.
Dude, that's huge. That is huge.
Just under 40,000 people.
To a freaking practice. I mean, that's just...
To a practice.
That's ridiculous.
They're scrimmaging each other.
That is ridiculous. That's fantastic.
Again, just tells you what this fan base is all about, man.
Yeah,
you
for know? Sure. For sure.
But my eyes, what I got to see, and I try to watch as best as I could because I was sweating so profusely that
I was a little toasty. Is that what you're trying to tell me here?
Very toasty.
Just
dude.
A little bit warm, baby. A little bit warm.
It was hard to keep my eyes on stuff because I'm sweating and it's going in my eyes. And
That's sucky.
And I can't breathe.
I've been there, dude. That's really sucky when your eyes are burning from sweat.
It is.
That's horrible.
It was hot. But the first thing that I noticed, so one of the biggest things that I noticed the start off the game or the scrimmage was Singletary got the first touch and he broke off like a 20-something yard run. Looked great. But then after that, you didn't see him much.
Right.
And I think because they know what they got in Singletary, no need to really kind of, you know, no need to get him on the field. So Zach Moss got a lot of touches. Now, Zach Moss, to me, being at the stadium and seeing him live the first time, he looked faster and leaner to me.
Right.
And he got a lot of touches in the red zone. So to me, I think they still want to probably give him work in the red zone at some point this year, or that's what they're trying to do. What else? Gabe Davis. They try to press our defense. Try to press coverage him. They got Dane Jackson on him. They put Kair Elam on him a few times.
Right.
They try to press him, which means you know they're right up in his face and no bueno on that.
Yeah,
he's too big. He's too strong. He had two touchdowns. He had probably two or three catches that were over 15 yards. I mean, as of right now, and. Dude, we have a really good defense.
We do.
And again, they weren't going balls out hard and they weren't tackling and stuff like that. But Gabe Davis is, I mean, he's looking as we thought he would look.
As build, huh?
Yeah. I mean, he's looking.
I'm in. I honestly, and we have talked about this a little bit, spotty here and there, a lot of times, not during the podcast, but it's insane to think of this team that we've had now for a couple of years, but last year specifically, did it get better or did it take a step backwards? And it's so easy to see. Love Jerry Hughes, fantastic player. And he did a lot for Buffalo. You know, kudos to him. But if you had to make a pick between Von Miller or Jerry, what would you do?
Well, especially at this point in the career.
Exactly.
Jerry Hughes was never at the level of Von Miller. Jerry Hughes was a very, very good D end in this league. But when you get a chance to upgrade to Von Miller from Jerry Hughes, and again, like you said, no disrespecting Jerry Hughes, but
for sure. And if he had been able to play with Von Miller,
right,
it probably would have been a different story because he would have got to the quarterback because Von Miller would have taken a lot of that focus. But
Correct.
Jerry Hughes was trying to be our number one rusher for year after year after year.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
Yeah. And he just didn't have what it took to put our defense to the next level. I mean, like you brought up the stat a bunch of times that he was one of the highest pressure rate guys in the NFL.
Right.
But at the end of the day, it's what is it more about the sacks or is it more about pressure?
Yeah, good quarterbacks can avoid pressure. That's what makes Josh Allen special.
Exactly. So
he's really good at it.
So yeah, I agree with that. I mean, you know, upgrading to Von Miller. We got Jordan Phillips back, which is an upgrade from Starr, and
good call.
In run defense and pass rush.
Right.
And Oliver is going to be better this year.
Jaquan Jones. Daquan Jones.
Yeah. Tim Settle.
Yeah.
I mean, and
like you said, Ed Oliver's going to be better. Greg Rousseau is probably going to be better.
He's definitely going to be better.
Dude, he's looking
good at rough, the red and blue.
I'll tell you what, he looks really strong.
He does.
Very strong.
He does. Red and blue game, he looks strong. I mean,
Epinesa is going to take a step forward. He's spent a lot of time with Von Miller this offseason.
Yeah, I want him to.
I do too.
I want him to step forward.
Sure. He's a guy that you really kind of are pulling for. You know what I mean?
He is.
Yeah.
He hasn't been a guy that you see is, you know, hanging his head or, you know, being like, you know, he goes to work.
Right.
He's done what they asked him to do.
Exactly. And part of the excitement is the end of last year. I know it was very disappointing. They lose in the divisional round to obviously a well-known team, but Devin Singletary really turned it up a notch the last few games of the season.
Yeah.
Like you said, Greg Rousseau looked different. Gabe Davis sets NFL records in a playoff game. Like they really peaked at the perfect time last year, and now they get to carry that into a whole nother season. Those two specifically, Singletary and Gabe Davis, I think are both going to probably take another step. Devin Singletary will only be limited by opportunity. If they mix in James Cook the way we know they will, if they use him a lot, it's going to limit what Devin Singletary can do. But beyond that, I think Devin Singletary will, like you said, take a step.
Yeah.
I really think that. And Gabe Davis, definitely. Opportunity is there for him. He's going to be the number two receiver. He definitely will have an opportunity to show this team and the rest of the NFL what he is capable of.
Yeah, and James Cook and Zach Moss, I think, are going to have their opportunity to have an impact on this team this year.
Yep.
It's just going to be situational. You know, Zach Moss is going to be a situational guy.
Yep.
Short yardage, goal line, that type of stuff.
Yep.
James Cook, he is a fast dude. When I was at the practice.
Oh, you were talking about that, yeah.
I was just waiting, you know, the whole time because they're mixing him in pretty nice. And I'm like, I just want to see this guy's straight out speed. And finally he caught a pass from Josh, like maybe, you know, 8-10 yard pass, took one cut and joosh. I mean, he's just
gone.
He's got some breakaway speed. So situationally, I think James Cook is going to be a guy that's not going to get a lot of touches to start the season. But I think situations that we can exploit on defenses based on matchup, if we can get him on linebackers,
right,
you know, whatever, he can do some damage on this offense. So
yeah, another one you mentioned is seeing OJ Howard live and in person.
Big dude, man. I mean, he looks like Spencer Brown out there as far as the size goes,
right?
But he's just a little leaner and he's running around catching footballs, man. I mean,
yeah.
he is ginormous. So we were talking about that earlier today. It's like the matchups that you could possibly get him in short, short yardage and goal line.
Yeah, yeah, that third down guy. You got to have a third down. Who do we got?
I mean, if you're talking to me, if I'm an offense coordinator and when we're down, you know, inside the 10, flank his ass out, get him on a corner, and just throw it up, dude.
Right.
He's
going up in the corner and let him go get it.
6'7". He's going to outjump pretty much anybody.
If you look at a lot of the catches that Dawson Knox had for touchdowns last year,
yeah,
they were that play.
Correct.
They were that play. He was out jumping a cornerback in the end zone, sometimes in the corner, along the sideline, whatever. But he was either out muscling or out jumping another smaller guy.
He was.
Yeah, O.J. Howard can really make that work for him. Like you said, he's a big dude. So,
you know, if I'm an opposing defense, I'm really nervous about the matchups that the Buffalo Bills can impose on you. I mean,
right.
You're talking, there's a possibility that we can go into a game and you can get, you know, a dose of Singletary, Zach Moss, and James Cook throughout the game, which is like, what, how do you slow down three guys that could be potentially on fire?
Right.
You know, then you got your wide receiver core that is, in my opinion, going to be hitting on all cylinders. You got two tight ends that can really do damage in the middle of the field and then out towards the sidelines. I mean, these guys are very good. And then you take Josh Allen, and the dude, if he's not slinging the ball around the field to all these weapons, you're gonna turn your back and run down the field to try to cover somebody, and Josh is gonna be picking up 15, 20 yards on
it. Right.
Just, how do you defend this
exactly.
offense?
Exactly.
You know?
And speaking of that, I don't know if you saw it, but they Cole Beasley somehow got in a conversation about the Bills, and might have been in regards to Isaiah McKenzie. But anyway, he's huge on Isaiah McKenzie.
Yeah.
He's like, he can't wait to watch him do some special things this year. You know, that's pretty big praise from a guy with the talent of Cole Beasley. You know, people can think what they want about him.
That's nice.
And he said, and he has had a few flare-ups about the Bills, obviously, because I don't think it was the best of terms when they parted. But that's one area that he's always been very supportive is towards Isaiah McKenzie. And he thinks that's a perfect role for him.
Yeah, and I'm not going to sit here and shit on Cole Beasley because he was
still a good ball player.
He was a good ball player. The fans loved him. He went out and played his ass off for this franchise. The one thing that I do question is his comment about saying that, and he said he loved the Bills. He loved
the community. The community, the
fan base. But he said it was time for him to go because things started changing within the organization. And
I question that myself.
I don't know if things are changing in the organization to the point where he's like, well, this isn't the organization that I signed up with. I think, you know, in my opinion, some of the social media shit that he was saying with COVID and stuff like that, I feel like the coaching staff has their eye set on one goal right now, and that's the Super Bowl.
Correct.
And they didn't.
Anything is a distraction. Literally anything.
Right. And when they brought Cole Beasley in, I'm not saying their eye wasn't on the Super Bowl, but let's be honest. Right now, compared to 3 years ago when they brought Cole Beasley in, you're talking a totally different story.
It's completely, complete different team. It was John Brown, remember, and Cole Beasley.
Correct.
That was our.
And barely Josh.
Yeah. I mean, and basically our two best receivers.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
So
I think it's Zay Jones, but you know, and he might be fine, but it was a basic receiving core. That's what it was.
The expectations that are held to on this team are extremely high. We all know that.
Yes.
You know, we don't know what's said in the locker rooms or what McDermott's saying behind closed doors.
Correct.
But you know the expectations on this team are skyrocketed.
Yep. Yep.
And maybe Cole Beasley was told that, hey, listen, you know, you've done a lot for us, but we can't have your distractions.
Right. And part of it, he's 33. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, he's not old, but that's a tough position. And he did spend quite a bit of the time his final season injured, you know, including in the playoffs. So, yeah, there's probably a lot of factors that go into something like that.
Well, McDermott made it pretty clear when he got into this team, when he started coaching this team, that he didn't want certain guys. And he didn't want certain guys on this team, not only because of the guys he wanted to bring in, but let's be honest. I mean, Sammy Watkins was kind of a distraction for this team.
Right.
You know, Marcell Dareus, kind of a distraction for this team.
For sure.
You know, even though his talent was huge, he was a distraction. He had his issues, you know, and McDermott wasn't afraid to get those guys out and bring in the certain guys. He has a goal in mind. There's no doubt.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
He has his players.
Right.
I think that's pretty evident up to this point, you know, the type of guys he's bringing into this organization. So Cole Beasley was part of that plan. And I think that plan changed, and it's the NFL, you know, plans are going to change of how things go. And Cole Beasley, because of the whole COVID thing, it was a tough situation just overall.
Yeah.
But the way he handled it on his end just didn't sit well with our organization.
Correct. And social media can be a devil. There's no doubt.
Yeah,
especially if you can't control the things that you're posting on it. And I think that was part of the problem.
Yeah, for sure.
It might have been a coming from a good place originally, but it but it went south in a hurry. And everybody knew that, you know, I mean, but yeah, it's just the way it went. But another thing that happened, of course, is the Bills released their first preliminary preseason game. One is this weekend, so they released a depth chart.
The depth chart, yep.
A couple of surprises as they are showing Kaiir Elam is a second team cornerback. Dane Jackson is a starter along with Trey White.
You surprised about that?
A little bit, only because it's, but everybody's got to bear in mind, it's the opening depth chart. This is not going to look like this come, you know, September 1st.
I'm a little surprised, but I'm not at the same time because I feel like it's like he's got to show that he's got to earn it, right?
Right, like James Cook.
Yeah.
He's on the third string. He's behind Singletary Moss.
Yeah.
That's probably a given because of where he's coming in and what those two guys have been for the last few years. You know what I mean?
This isn't, you know,
not a final.
This isn't the year we drafted like Trey White either. When you get drafted onto a Super Bowl, you know, favorite team.
Yeah, right.
Then you're going to have, even if you're really good.
Yeah, you go back to 2017 and he's probably the starter.
Oh, there's no doubt.
Trey was.
There's no doubt. You know, yeah.
Yeah.
But he's going to have to prove it, and I think that's kind of where it's at, and I'm fine with that.
But we talk about Isaiah Hodgins a lot. He's currently right behind Gabe Davis, second-team wide receiver. I'm hoping that stays. I want to see what he can do.
I want to see him on this team and see what he can do and make an impact.
They got to like him, right? Man. I mean, they got to like something about the kid.
They're keeping
this through injury and
this is year three.
Everything else.
They kept him around. I mean, they could easily cut him.
Sure.
Could easily cut him.
So I'm excited about those things. I mean, there's just a couple of things that.
What about the Questenberry starting at right tackle so far?
And again, Spencer Brown is showing on the second team, but he's been injured. He hasn't really been able to work with the team very much. I personally think that may switch down the road. But
here's something that I can bring up. He's been injured, and they moved him. They showed him as a direct backup to Questenberry,
right?
Because of injury, I guess that's what we're guessing,
right?
But Saffold hasn't been here at all, and he's listed as the starter.
I know that is true.
So
that's a very good point.
That kind of, you know, to rack your brain a little bit,
right? Right.
You know, like what's up?
Well, but I think they're showing Ike Boettcher as his direct backup too.
They are,
but Boettcher has been a backup. Like, I think they probably brought Saffold in as a direct replacement as a starting guard. I think he was brought in. I think Questenberry was more of a question mark when they brought him in. It was either to be a starter or a backup to Spencer Brown or vice versa. But I think Saffold was literally brought in to start.
Oh, absolutely. But Questenberry, too, you know, for people
they're both from Tennessee, right?
Yeah. I mean, Questenberry has a lot of games under his belt.
He does.
And he's been a good...
And that might be a factor.
Right. 100%.
You know what I mean? Because, again, it's a Super Bowl squad. If they go, these guys have comparable sets, comparable skill sets, and where they are in their careers right now, they're fairly 50-50 split. Let's go with a guy who's been there, done that.
Well, you got to remember, like, who's making the final call on the offensive line starters? It's probably... Starts with Aaron Cromer. And Aaron Cromer coached Questenberry, and he coached Saffold. He coached these guys.
Now that's the cool part. They've worked with him before.
Yes.
So it's not like they're learning everything brand new.
Right.
I'm sure a lot of it. So that gives them a little advantage, too.
There's got to be a factor involved with that.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, going through this list, Ryan Bace, we talked about, he's been injured.
Yeah.
But he's also a starter. So, I don't have a problem with any of it. I'm excited like you. We both are huge fans of Isaiah Hodgins, and we really would like to see what he can do. A guy who was drafted late. He's big. He's like 6'4 or something like that. He's a big dude.
He's athletic as shit.
Very athletic.
I mean, again, like he's...
Looks like he's good at a guard in basketball or something. You know what I mean? Like,
can you just imagine if he got... And he won't... I don't think on Gabe Davis's level, but can you imagine if he got like in that realm though?
Right.
What do you do? Well, I don't know.
If you think about it, you look at some of the, like Robert Woods with the Bills, we would have swore he's never going to be anything more than a than a second wide receiver.
Sure.
And he goes to LA, and next thing you know, he's tearing it up.
I mean, he was really good for us too.
Yeah, yeah, he did great.
But
you never, I never really imagined him as being an elite wide receiver.
Yeah.
But he came pretty damn close in LA.
There's no doubt. He was really,
really
good.
Really good. Now
he's in Tennessee, which I think that's where his career can fall off because, well, Tannehill's, I mean, come on.
I know.
But yeah. here's a factor involved with that. Robert Woods, besides being a good wide receiver and a ball catcher, what did he do really good on the field? He was a good down the field blocker.
Yep.
Very good.
Very good.
So
when you got Derrick Henry on your team, that's not a bad play.
I know.
So, even if you've got an aging wide receiver.
So we
got
to deal with that.
Who's been injured. Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's one of those. These first two games, the Rams and Titans, they're gonna tell us a whole bunch about this team.
Whole bunch. So that sets the tone for this year, dude.
For sure.
If we can go into L.A. and we can dominate that game, and I'm not saying.
Super Bowl champion.
I'm not saying wipe them clean.
But win by 10 or more points, say.
Exactly.
Right, you know,
then
that's significant.
That's tone setting right there. Boom. Then we come home Monday night
against one of our weaknesses, which is a strong running team.
Yep.
Which is what Tennessee is.
Exactly.
Derrick Henry is the king, man.
And if we can kind of handle them, then it's like game fucking on.
Absolutely, like, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, because then we got to go right after Miami. I think after that.
Yeah.
And now they've got Tyreek Hill and Waddle. You know what I mean?
Like, sure. Yeah.
They're starting to put a team together. Everybody's that I've been reading, and I believe them to be the second best team in the AFC East. So
could be for sure, you know. But
so yeah, it's pretty exciting, dude.
It's really exciting, and it gets your blood pumping, man. Because
it does.
Like we have such a really good roster that we can do so much with right now.
So. Yeah, and the crazy part is you love these guys. Like, so you want good things for that. It's not just as a fan, you want your team to be good.
Yeah.
It's like, I want really good things for these guys. I want Josh Allen to succeed. I, you know, all these guys, not just as a team in the potential to win a championship, but just they're good guys. They're good guys. They're, you know, great for the community, and it's great fun watching them.
It is. And ending on the note of the blue and red game, what did you think about Josh coming out in that red helmet, though?
Oh, that was fucking awesome, dude.
Was that not cool as shit?
I know you've got a theory on that, or you're hopeful.
I do.
Anyway.
I do. Well, the thing is we looked it up earlier today. Jeff and I spend a lot of time talking about the Bills when we're not talking about the Bills
right. On
the podcast. But we came up with the conclusion that they basically stopped wearing the red helmets after 2003, and they sporadically wore them up until about 2010.
Right.
So basically it's been anywhere between 12 to 15 years since we've really had the red helmets, like the real red helmets, not the late 2000 red helmets jerseys.
The real,
like, come
the
on. Like when we went to the dark blue jerseys with the red helmets, that almost reminded me of the Sabres going to that fucking that slug.
Yeah.
Like, why?
Yeah.
Like, what are you
or
trying
the red
to
and the black? Like, yeah, it's just like
the red and black to me wasn't the worst, but the slug,
right.
the slug was dumb.
Was terrible.
Like, why would
horrible.
You do that? And when we went to the dark blues, why?
Yep.
Why did you like who's the marketing genius behind that?
Right.
Right. But anyway, so my theory.
Well, now I feel bad for the guy.
No, I know, right? But no, my theory was earlier today that Josh coming out in the red helmets, and it's been everywhere. Everybody wants the red helmets.
And they're playing it down pretty hard.
I think.
Like, oh, we'd have to get permission from the NFL.
Blah, blah, blah. I know. But I think that it's very highly likely home opener Tennessee that we come out in the reds in like the throwback, like 90s blues, like the light blue jerseys. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yep.
Like that whole uniform with the white pants and the red stripes down it.
Dude.
Like the ninth, like I would just blow a gasket.
I was just going to say, just thinking about that, if we go into LA and we win that game, especially if we win it and it's not that close, right? And then they come back home.
Yeah.
Prime time.
Wearing them shits.
Tennessee. I'd be shaken if they came out of those with that. Blue and red helmet. Why
would you not?
Dude,
that's the biggest.
It'd be like start blowing them out of a cannon.
If you're going to reveal those those helmets and those throwbacks, you got to do it home opener Monday night.
Absolutely.
You have to.
Absolutely.
There's no other time to do it.
Nope. It's not going to be the same play any other time.
You can't come running out like a Sunday at 1 o'clock against fucking, I don't know, Minnesota or somebody and be like, oh, yeah, there's the red helmet. It's like, who cares? Like,
I'll tell you what it reminds me of is a month or so ago when we were talking about before the Bills had their final schedule. And we were talking about the Bills being the Thursday night opponent to the Rams.
Yeah.
And we talked ourselves right out of it because everybody is saying there's no way they're going to put all their cards in one basket or one table like that. When it's the Rams, it's Super Bowl champs. They can play the Bills anytime and get a huge audience. They don't need to play them on opening day in the NFL. It's just too much. Yeah, right. And we talked ourselves out of it to the point where we're going, well, they're not going to be playing the Rams week one. You know what I mean?
But it's easy.
The exact same thing. We talked ourselves out of it.
It's easy
to talk. We thought they would do that.
But it's easy to talk ourselves out of it because
we
would talk ourselves into a lot of shit, and it never happened.
True.
And it's just like we're not used to that yet.
Right.
But
right.
I guess.
Well, and you're listening to a lot of national media, too, and what and it made sense. Like, why would they want to put all their eggs in one basket like that? Why would they want to just throw everything in game one?
Right.
And then the rest of the weekend is kind of weak.
Well, it's the fucking Bucks and Cowboys play the Sunday night game. Who the fuck cares?
Yeah.
Didn't they play last year?
I think they did.
Like, why? Like,
yeah.
Who the fuck cares to watch? Like, okay, like Tom Brady and the Bucks, fine, whatever.
Right.
But you're putting the fucking Cowboys?
Right.
Come on. Come on.
Yeah.
Why?
I'm with you, dude.
What is wrong with
you? I'm with you.
NFL? Like, why would you do that?
Yeah.
That's the dumbest game ever.
Yep.
Like,
that's what I mean. Like, the rest of the weekend is just going to be like, eh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it plays out great because, I mean, you got, obviously, Von Miller going back and into
playing
LA.
Playing former teammates.
And fucking
his buddy and Aaron Donald. Yeah.
That's going to be a match up.
It's going to be cool, man.
I can't wait.
It's going to be fantastic.
I can't wait, dude.
All right. We're running long.
Well, wait. Before we go, though, I just want to get your thoughts real quick. Obviously, we're coming up and we're playing Saturday at 4:30. We're playing the Colts preseason.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Nothing crazy, but just wanted to get your thoughts real quick. Do we see any starters in this game?
Nope, not this game. I don't think they'll play. I really don't.
Nobody big anyway.
No. I think you're going to see guys like Kumaro and Hodgins and Zach Moss, I think, will play. James Cook will probably play quite a bit.
Good chunk of our offensive line
will probably play. They will probably play.
Defensive line, anybody?
I don't know if Von Miller will play.
No.
Maybe the young guys like Ed Oliver, Rousseau, they'll make spot Epinesa, plays here. And Epinesa.
Stuff like that. Probably you won't even see much of Tremaine Edmonds, Milano, none of those guys.
I mean,
much.
We didn't mention Shaq Lawson has kind of fallen back
third
in the
string
depth
in the depth
chart. Yeah, so well, you'll see probably a lot of him. That's the problem.
Yeah.
You know, these guys came back knowing what the Bills had for a starting defensive line now.
Sure.
So they had to know the odds of them starting right out of the gate is slim.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's slim, but they're going to be super depth pieces.
They didn't play – Diggs didn't play a lick last year.
Yeah, I don't see that happening.
Josh Allen was like one series – you're not going to see.
Yeah, they've got some guys they want to see. There's no doubt.
Well, that's the thing is you got Khalil Shakir, you got Kaiir Elam, you got guys like Baylen Specter. You know, you got some of these rookie offensive linemen that we drafted that they're going to get a good chunk.
Yeah, like
playing.
Greg Mance or whatever, the backup center.
Yep,
he'll probably play. You know, he's a veteran guy, but he's still going to play a lot.
Alec Anderson.
Yep,
those type of guys. That corner we drafted.
You just
told me his name today. I'm so bad. I remember Benford.
Yeah, Christian Benford.
Christian Benford. Yeah. You're going to probably see a good chunk of him. So
there's
a lot of guys that I'm excited. Like I can give two shits if it's just the starters really get any time. I'm excited to see what these backup guys can do on the field.
And the funny thing is, you've got Case Keenum, a guy who has started many games in the NFL, and Matt Barkley, who's started a fair share too. So it's, at least they're obviously not Josh Allen, but these are quality quarterbacks that can make plays, you know? So
absolutely.
That's going to be fun.
No, I agree, man.
That's going to be fun watching them play.
It's just going to be cool. Like, boom, all of a sudden, here, we got some live football against another team going on, so that's going to be neat.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm excited to, again, see some of these backup guys.
It's going to be fun, man.
It's going to be cool. So, cool.
And again, a good running team. I doubt Jonathan Taylor be playing a bunch, but it's one of those teams that the Bills historically in this environment have struggled with the run game. So we'll Absolutely. See what happens.
Yeah. So, yeah, check out our podcast at ETD Buffalo. Or we're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. You can listen to our podcast, anchor.fm/endingthedrought. You can also catch us on Apple, Spotify, or pretty much anywhere you listen to your podcast. So,
yes, sir.
Just want to thank everybody for listening.
Yep.
Super excited for the upcoming season here. And where else would you rather be than right here, right now? Go Bills.
Go Bills.